So, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show. And I don't know what to suggest, really. I mean, I've been doing shows like this all week now in rugby league and in ice hockey and in other leagues with regards to football, and of course with FC United. And it doesn't get any better, to be honest with you. James Hayes joins us now down the other end of the phone. Hello, James. How are you?
Doing.
I'm all right, mate. And it's troubling times. And extraordinary times. I mean, doing a football podcast at this time feels very trivial, but we have to put something out. James, the league played last weekend. That's obviously changed now. So we've got some results from last weekend. I mean, we're going to talk about it from a football perspective because there's nothing else we can do, dear listener. We've got Lee Picton coming on shortly from South Shields to talk about that epic encounter last weekend with FC United. And we've also got Andrew Simpson coming on as well for some ideas from his perspective about what needs to happen next, because there's a lot of things in the air. But James, your thoughts generally about where we are currently with everything before we get to last weekend's results?
Not just some football, it's affecting its entirety of the world. It's mass uncertainty, not just at NPL level, but across football at this moment in time. I can only wish everyone to remain safe at this moment in time. I know we're saying to try and keep it on football here, but it's a scary place to be. But everyone's got to try and keep their head up as much as they can, even in these worrying times.
Now, obviously, this show, I'm going to try and keep the show going for as long as we can. Not this week's show. It'll last as long as it lasts. But as the weeks go by, obviously, we rely heavily on results and previews and that kind of thing. But I think it's important to keep a spotlight on the Northern Premier League in the coming weeks, just to make sure that you know, the stories coming out of clubs while they've been put on hiatus, essentially, and frozen with regards to the season and that kind of thing. I think it's important to keep a spotlight on the clubs and on the league more generally, because it is going to be a difficult period to come with no revenue, because it's not just the football. Is it, James? It's also the events at these clubs. They've all got clubhouses. Most of them have got community teams that do great work in the community, get involved with schools and that kind of thing. It's just horrendous from top to bottom, and you know, all the youth teams and that kind of thing. So we're going to try and keep the show going for as long as possible, really. If there's nothing to talk about one week, then we won't come back that week. But we'll try and keep the show on the road as best we can over the coming weeks. But I mean, it seems trivial, but we should talk about some of the results from last weekend. We will be speaking to Andrew Simpson shortly to talk about what can be done from a competitive viewpoint. It's trivial, I know, but leagues are, you know, there's how many games are left, James? 10, 11 games left of the season? So
6 weeks of the season left, and again, some teams, obviously, the likes of Morpeth and Everton would have had to have played pretty much three times a week as well.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk at the moment about what the Premier League are going to be doing and that kind of thing, but in the world of non-league football, the season pretty much ends when it ends because of contracts and that kind of thing with players. It's going to be tight to fit in all these fixtures, and, you know, given the news and that kind of thing, I don't think it's feasible at all, but we'll see what Andrew Simpson thinks about the situation later. But James, let's try and cheer everyone up and talk about the actual results from last weekend. And there's only one place we could start, and that's to Mariners Park. Over 3,000 there, which is, and I was one of them. South Shields 5, FC United and Manchester 3. If that is the last game of the season, what a way for the NPL to sign off.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, we were talking about this being a title decider match, and it truly was there. You watch the highlights, I mean, South Shields released them 2 days later just because of how epically proportionate the game was. I'm still trying to get hold of the full game to potentially play back out on the social media. But, massive result there, South Shields, and a fantastic spectacle there at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. And hat-trick for Tunde Owolabi as well, taking his goal tally to the season in all competitions to 35, which isn't bad at all, in all fairness. I mean, he could have got 40, couldn't he, if we carried on? Let's be honest about it. I mean, he's been sensational, hasn't he, Tunde Owolabi? But let's have some post-match thoughts now. South Shields were absolutely phenomenal on Saturday afternoon. So let's hear now from one of the joint managers at Mariners Park. Here's Lee Picton. Well, Lee, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on last week's result against FC United of Manchester. The first thing we have to say is, what an occasion, really.
You're absolutely right, Ben. Yeah, no, first and foremost, it was a fantastic, you know, spectacle, game of football for everybody that was there. You know, it was quite a fitting kind of exhibition of you know, non-league football at our level. You know, we played in front of a huge crowd, as you know, and they were all treated to a fantastic game and obviously eight goals. And you know, we've obviously come out on top, and it's been a great occasion for us.
Now, obviously, there's a backdrop to this, and we all know what that backdrop is. I mean, at the moment, football, as well as all sport, and especially team sport, is been put on the back burner due to the ongoing health emergency, and with that regard, you know, we're stopped. So how are you treating this period now, because you can't really be in close contact with the players or anything like that, so what's your take on where we find ourselves at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously we're all in the same boat, and you know, we're not even able to get together as a group to train at this moment in time. And you know, there's obviously nine games to go in the season, and it's coming at a bad time for everybody. You know, first and foremost, above all else, we've got to do the right thing, because it's, you know, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but there are more important things in life than football. How long this will last for, you know, is anybody's guess. We've just got to do the right things, as you know, as citizens, if you like, to protect each other and help each other. And, you know, hopefully we'll get an opportunity sometime in the not too distant future to get back on the football pitch. And once this is all done, and get an opportunity to finish the season.
And with that regard, there's obviously a lot of chatter at the moment about what can be done. I mean, obviously Liverpool are the one taking the main headlines, but you're sitting there with a 12-point lead up at the top of the division at the moment. So, you know, that's a sizable gap at this stage, that's for sure. So what can be done? Because we're approaching a period as well where we've got a month or so to go. Contracts are about to expire for Fairfield players. So this is a pickle, isn't it, especially for non-league football?
No, it certainly is, and it's a very complex problem that we've got to try and, you know, negotiate our way through. Like you say, you know, a lot of clubs, even though we're not at the highest level of football, a lot of clubs have, you know, contracted players. What's going to happen with a lot of those contracts will run out on or around the 2nd of May. If I was a betting man, I'd be very surprised if we were playing football by that time again. So what happens with those contracts? We're going to have to wait for some direction from the FA. I think a lot of clubs are going to have to rely on the kind of the good nature of the players themselves, and you know, the goodwill of the players. But there's a million one things that obviously need to be clarified before we can get going again. It's kind of difficult to get your head around at the moment, but it's the same for everybody. And I'm sure when everything is hopefully sorted out, we'll find a way and we'll get back playing again.
Yeah, here's hoping. I mean, just to talk about, you know, the form heading into the FC United victory, if we can change gears somewhat.
Yeah.
I mean, you came back into form at the right time, didn't you? Because, you know, you had a little bit of a stumble and it was touch and go. But I mean, what character in the dressing room, and from you and Graham, of course, because the pressure was on. But you know, 12 points ain't bad.
Yeah, no, we've you know, across the whole group, we've responded really well. You know, we've been seeing it for a long time. There has been a strong correlation between the results that we've had on the pitch and, you know, our injury situation within the squad. We've suffered some rotten luck across the season, and we've had some real key players injured at at important times, and often, an accumulation of those key injuries at the same time. We've managed to get the vast majority of those players back fit and available on the pitch, and that is, like I say, that's correlated with us, picking up stronger results. But we've been exceptionally pleased with how things have gone over the last few weeks, and hopefully, when we do get back to playing, we can pick up where we left off.
And finally then, Lee, because obviously, you might notice there's a bit of an echo. That's because I'm doing this in the kitchen because my wife's taking over my office, which is
right.
Very inconsiderate, isn't it, really? So I won't keep you because, like you said, we are all in the same boat here, aren't we? So
yeah.
Let's touch upon what's the immediate action plan then for you and Graham, for the squad. Has everyone got plans, fitness plans for what they can be doing? Not keeping a piece of toilet roll, for example, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, our owner has made taken the decision, as I'm sure a lot of clubs have, to effectively pull the shutters down on the club at this moment in time. So, the staff are working from home. Both myself and Graham have sent out training plans to the players in conjunction with other staff at the club. And at the moment, I guess during the season when you're working day to day and everything's flying around because it's so busy during the season, you sometimes don't get the opportunity to take a step back and maybe look at things on a wider level, plan for the future a bit more on the footballing front, look at different areas of developing what you do. And I guess that's an opportunity that we're looking at now, using this time rather than just, doing nothing effectively. We've got to use this time constructively and look at, wider areas of how we develop, the footballing side, the players, the club as a whole, and that's what we're trying to focus on at the moment.
Lee Picton there, joint manager at South Shields, joining us here on the NPL show. So James, just to finish off the other results from last weekend, Basford United 0, Scarborough Athletic 1, Lancaster City 1, Witton Albion 1. That draw there sees Lancaster City 1 point inside the playoffs. Nantwich Town do have 3 games in hand, and a better goal difference as well. But Lancaster City finishing, I'm going to say finishing off in fifth position at the moment. And Radcliffe 2, Whitby Town 2. A great result that for Radcliffe. But it could have been better, James, couldn't it? Because you were 2-0 up. But yeah, I suppose beggars can't be choosers, really. I mean, that's Whitby. A 2-2 draw, you would have took that at the start of the day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all three results had a huge implication on what the playoff is at the moment in time, because it was a big advantage there for Scarborough on day, especially with Basford and Lancaster dropping points. Just quickly around Radcliffe off there, yeah, it could have been a lot different story. Two draws on the bounce now for him. Moving on to the Basford game, yeah, obviously Scarborough, they needed the win. They needed to pick up the win purely for the fact that the games they've played, they needed that result. I've had Basford won that. We were looking at a 5-6 team fight for playoff spots, if you include Morpeth Town.
Well, that's it, dear listener. That's all the results from last weekend. And when I say last weekend, it might be the last weekend of the season. We'll be hearing from Andrew Simpson in a second for what can be done. I mean, we've touched upon it there. With games in hand and all that, I mean, Morpeth, for example, if they win all their games in hand, they'd be third. So, I mean, it's such a maze and such a confusion about how you could finish this season off or whether you just void it completely. But if you void it completely, what do you say to South Shields, who've got a 12-point lead up at the top? It's tough. It's very tough at the moment. But, James, just before you go, just your closing thoughts. Like I say, we'll try and have a show next week as well, because we need to touch upon the North West and South East division. So we've not forgotten about you down there in step four. We will be talking about that on next week's show. But James, just your closing thoughts for this week and that kind of thing.
Well, obviously, we've tried to get in contact with all the clubs to say, try and keep your content going. We'll support you as much as we can. So it's not, we are trying to do it as business as usual as much as we can, just without the actual football results on the pitch at this moment. I mean, obviously, we're getting ready to talk about next week, about being the deadline day. Obviously, we should have been talking at this moment in time about the player awards, which we've had to cancel as well. I mean, obviously, we've just, as a league, we decided we're still going to go ahead with the supporters award, but we're going to delay it by a week, just so, again, a bit more for players to look after its moment in time. But yeah, we've instructed the clubs, if you want to go out and start showing the games, streaming them out, no problem, just do what you can. From the league perspective, we are going to be uploading stuff like Spot the Ball to our social media, putting up game highlights or full streams. First one went up on Thursday night. There's another one coming up on Saturday. Can't remember who's in that one at the moment. I think it's Dunstan versus Runcorn, which was a great 3-0 result. If you need to speak to anyone, Andy's Man Club, even though they suspended their own sessions as well, they're still running online. Speak, try and find the local centre. They may be able to speak to you properly over the internet. We'll be back. We know we're going to be. It's just keep safe. Just follow the instructions that are going out at the moment nationally. Once we get out of this, we'll be back on the pitch.
So, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. And regular listeners of the show might notice there is a bit of an echo on my voice, and that's because everyone's working from home, including my better half, which means the studio is now being used by other people. So I've had to decamp into the kitchen, the MPL show kitchen. And joining me in the kitchen with me here, hand in hand, but in audio form, is Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Very strange circumstances, and dear listener, he's not put the kettle on yet.
I have. So. I did actually when you were talking to me up there. I was making myself a hot him, so yeah. Anyway, other northern stereotype drinks are also available. Anyway, right, let's talk about this then. I mean, we're in the situation we're in. Everyone knows why we're in the situation we're in. I think everyone agrees that we're in this situation and it has to be this way. How do we solve the problem of non-league football? Because that sounds like a really big question. I've just asked you there. But how do we fix the season that's just gone? Because obviously the FA and the Premier League and a lot of national attention is on the top flight and the Football League. But their parameters are slightly different to non-league football, where player contracts run out and will be running out shortly.
No, it's a really good point. I suppose the short answer and the truest answer at the moment is I don't know. But that in itself, I'm not being facetious, is, you know, presents a huge dilemma. I mean, even last weekend when the league found itself in the position of having to, you know, a very real dilemma of should we play games, should we not play games. You saw that there's a kind of breadth of opinion in response even to that. You know, two extremes of opinion of, you know, it was a really bad idea, to others saying, yeah, get the game on. So there is going to be no answer here that satisfies everybody. I think that's the starting point. And the other thing I think you can say with some certainty at the moment is, at least initially, they don't have to make any decision. They can sit tight for a little while and see what happens in the wider country. Of course, that position is unsustainable over a long period of time. Decisions will have to be made at some point. But the problem that the league have got is there's just so many unknowns, isn't there? And one thing that you kind of crave, whether you're a club or an official, is certainty. And that's one thing that very definitely is absent at the moment. So I think there's a little bit of breathing space. And one thing that the Northern Premier League did commit to in its statement on Monday is that it was going to work in collaboration with other alliance leagues and the FA to look at all the options available and then agree a way forward. That said, that was what they were meant to be doing last week in terms of deciding whether games should go ahead or not. And we saw, even at step three, that the Northern Premier League made one decision, the Southern Premier League made another decision. Now, it doesn't mean one was right and one was wrong, but what it did highlight, and this is something that we're going to see going forward, is it's going to be really difficult to reach a consensus. But like I say, the league have committed that they will work with others to try and reach something that resembles a consensus. But knowing that not everybody's going to be happy, and there's so many different interests. I mean, you said off air that, you know, well, FC United a second, just let them get promoted. I know you were kind of making a joke.
Whoa, it was a joke. It was a joke.
It was a joke, but the wider point I'm going to make is everyone's going to have a slightly different slant depending on where the team they are affiliated with sits at the moment. So, I mean, look, I don't envy the people who've got to unravel this at all because it's going to be really, really complicated, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, we're talking about whether how the season ends is basically what we're talking about here. To get to that conclusion, you need buy-in from the other Step 3 clubs. You need to make sure that Step 4 is sustainable in regards to how that looks. And that's got to feed through to Step 5, to Step 6. And the elephant in the room as well is Step 2. And the National League, what are they going to decide? Because I'd imagine they're waiting on what the Football League decides as well. So it's such a tangled web, as you said.
It is, and it depends on what principles you want to work to. I mean, you know, saying about the professional game just before we started recording this afternoon, as agreed that the season will be suspended indefinitely, but the priority remains that they will try to complete the 2019-2020 season, whenever that might be, but that remains, right, this is our principal point here. We're committed to completing the season. But as you rightly pointed out before we started recording, you know, you're not comparing like with like when you talk about the non-league game, just from a very, very simple level that if players have signed a contract to play for FC United or Witten Albion or who it might be, they will be expiring at the end of April. And so whilst the principle of postponing indefinitely might seem a reasonable one, it's quite jarring to apply that to the level that we're talking about today. And also there's no guarantee if you postpone indefinitely, suspend indefinitely, that how do you still plan? When do you kind of draw a stop to that? How long do you wait for? That's not easy. But I just think that freezing the season now and saying, right, this is the final table is also maybe not the answer because of the arguments that I was just looking at the table before we come on air. You've very much got down, I would say, still to ninth place of teams that are battling to try and get into promotion or win the title. And then at the other end of the table, I mean, again, we talked about it last time we all got together at the Heat and Hops. You've still probably got 6-7 teams who are in very real danger of being relegated. So I've just named pretty much, well, more than half of the league have still got lows riding on their season. So that's an uneasy solution as well to say, right, it's you know, you finish where you finish. I mean, even more extreme than that, of course, is voiding the whole thing and saying, right, the 22 teams that are in the Premier Division now are the 22 teams that will start in the Premier Division when we resume. I'm not sure that's going to get the support either. So,
and the reason why that is problematic as well is because obviously you've got South Shields, who I think I might be talking out of line here, but I think everyone can agree that, you know, they're almost over the line. They've invested a lot of money in getting to this point. So how do you take it away from them?
it's a really good point, and I think, you know, another option that's being talked about is, do you honour promotions and run bigger divisions to kind of let teams move up the pyramid, but maybe not teams move down? I've been one of these tedious people who've banged the drum for ages that we still at Step 3 play too many matches. And this also is going to be a problem. If you do want to extend the season and restart it, at the most extreme level, Morpeth Town have still got 15 Premier Division fixtures to play, and where are you? Abbott Colliery is even more, by the way. And so it's not just a case of, oh, we'll restart the season again. It's how are you going to juggle it so that someone completes 15 fixtures so that you kind of maintain the integrity of the season. But I think you make a good point about South Shields. I think that's one maybe argument that would be quite easy to resolve, in that most people might say now, you know, 12 points clear after last weekend, it's very difficult to envisage them being reeled in. How quickly things change, by the way, because when we were again round the table not that long ago.
Taking the mick out of Birka.
But I think we're in dangerous territory. You're kind of moving the problem into a different area if you're just going to run bigger divisions to accommodate promotions and play more matches. I'm not sure that's a solution either. Do you resume the season and go straight to playoffs, for example. So the clubs that are in the top five at the moment, they form the playoffs. That's you know, we don't see any more regular season games.
And just to clarify that point, we go back to Morpeth. Morpeth don't have to win all their games in hand to get themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah, good point. So even that would be, you know, be a difficult sell to say that it's fair. I think you're striving for fairness, aren't you? And that's going to be really, really difficult. I mean, it'd be easier, of course, if everyone had played the same number of games, but, you know, it doesn't work like that. And also, it depends, of course, and the wider society applies here, of if players and officials are continuing to self-isolate or are still testing positive for coronavirus, then, you know, that's going to be going to kind of dictate where we go from here. Do you have a compromise where you start playing matches behind closed doors? You know, these are just things I've made a note of before we started recording. There's loads of questions to answer before you can then start maybe to piece together what might be a fair solution.
And this is why we've got you on, Simo, because I was thinking, you know, when I was working out what this show's going to be this week, the person who would be talking now would be doing the fixture preview. Could have been you, could have been Tom Feeney, whoever. But there are no fixtures now. And we need to discuss, throw out some ideas about what can be done with the season as is. So I hope you've got, listen at home, that's given you some ideas about the problems and the pitfalls of all the options, because that's what we've got to come up with something.
I mean, there's some real practical caveats. I mean, again, I was talking to someone who is involved in another sport but is in a very similar position of being in charge at a semi-professional club earlier this afternoon, and they were making the point that if you were committed to a resumption of the season, how would you actually manage that on a practical level? Do you have like a mini pre-season where teams can at least train together for a couple of weeks so they're in some sort of match shape to go into playing competitive games? Do you just pull up the shutters and go, right, we're playing Saturday? And so you need to be careful about, you know, the league has made the point in its statements about protecting the integrity of the competition. If you are not going to have that little bit of period where you get back training and playing with your teammates ready for games, you're going to get really distorted results, aren't you? Because you kind of you're going in cold is the point I'm trying to make, and that was something that one of my contacts was making the point this afternoon. I thought that was quite interesting. And so on a sporting level, you've got some things to juggle, because you want it to be as transparent and as fair as possible. But if players can't train together, they can't keep up physical, you know, they'll be able to do some physical work while they're not getting together, but it's not the same, is it, as having a proper training sessions. And with so much on the line in terms of promotion and relegation, you want the games to be as reflective as possible of the strengths of the various teams. So it's, you know, this very practical, and we're not at that point yet, that's going to be nearer the time, but there's quite, you know, if you are committed to resuming the season, there's going to be real weird things like that at play that could distort results, and we don't want results getting distorted either. So I think the problem is because it's so fluid at the moment, what might seem like a good idea one day quickly becomes redundant. And so many of the factors, to be completely fair to the Northern Premier League's board, are out of their control. So it's a really unenviable position they find themselves in. I think sometimes we can, you know, we criticise football officials, and by the way, sometimes they deserve to be criticised. But this is a really tricky one for them. I mean, it is unprecedented, a mark of the fact of how unprecedented it is. The FA statement this afternoon was really interesting. In their rules and regulations, it does commit to June the 1st being the very end date for all football seasons at every level to finish.
That's when the posts get ripped up off the playing fields.
Exactly. And they're now saying that's not going to apply in these circumstances. And on a real like daft level, I did read the National League system rules at the weekend to see if there was any provision in there for what happens if a season is suspended. And obviously you're kind of thinking about if normally it'd be a weather related perhaps, or if a war breaks out, but there is literally no provision. And this is not a criticism, by the way. It just shows you what a bizarre set of circumstances. There's no provision for this happening.
I think the last time, correct me if I'm wrong, dear listener, because I'm only in my mid-30s. I think probably the last time we saw anything like this, where, you know, football, it couldn't be guaranteed you were going to get footballers or a crowd. First World War, I'd say, where, you know, right. they tried to carry on both football and rugby league and the like, and in the end they had to knock it on the head because they didn't have the players or the supporters.
I don't know
what can be done. I mean, that does take me to the next point, because obviously that's an administrative thing and a sporting side of things, but what about the clubs themselves? Because, you know, you mentioned Morpeth and how many games they've got to play. There's a lot of revenue here that's not going to these clubs and won't probably be going to these clubs in the next before that end of season cut-off thing. So, what can be done? Because some of these clubs must be really worrying times.
I think you make a really good point, and that, you know, we've talked about the kind of administrative challenges and bureaucratic challenges, but actually, there's a very real existential threat, I would have thought, to some clubs. We've seen one or two clubs. I think I was reading from Real FC last night. They put something out to say, you know, this is now an existential threat. I know they don't play in the Northern Premier League, but my point being that clubs are starting to look at this and say, we literally have zero sources of income. I mean, even clubs, you know, if I think, just to use as an example, the way in which Witton Albion have adapted for their facilities to become much more of a hub and much more of a revenue generator in the past 12 to 18 months, and how that's been able to support the playing side of the club and Carl McCauley's budget. They've been actually really successful in addressing that, but they can't open the door. So the ways in which they've been supporting their football team, not just through people paying on the gate, the other revenue streams have been taken away as well, because they can't, you know, quite literally, people can't gather to use the social club or the pitch or whatever to help Albion generate a little bit of money. And every club is going to be in that position. You know, they're still going to have to pay water rates, you know, maybe not some, well, electricity won't be getting used as much, but basically the point is they've got these liabilities, these commitments. And the thing is, so many clubs at this level, and again, it's not a criticism, is that they spend the money that they generate. It's very hard to putting stuff to one side.
To be fair to the clubs, the well-run clubs will, you know, project much money's coming in and budget for that season. If you don't get to the end of the season, and that's an unexpected bump in the road. And, you know, depending on how far you are, I mean, some clubs are really a long way to, like we said, Morpeth, a real long way from the end of the season. That's a big hole in the road to get round.
It is, and Everton Coles. I mean, I've not got the numbers in front of me, but how many home games have they still got on their calendar? And home games, by the way, that have lots riding on them because they're desperate for points. So there's a chance that attendances would spike as people get behind the team to try and, you know, see them over the line to survival. And so, I mean, they've got other challenges as well at Coles, because they're trying to raise money to finish ground grading improvements. I don't know where, you know, where the suspension of the season leaves them in terms of that. But obviously they were committed to raising money to help them finish jobs at the ground by March the 31st. So there's all these things that kind of are presenting challenges in inverted commas, normal circumstances. So where it leaves you in these extreme circumstances, I don't know, because you're quite right. Lots of clubs are very well run and they do maximise the facilities that they've got by getting people in to use them during the week. They're doing their sensible bit, and that's been taken away from them. And even if you appeal to kind of players' charitable side, and players might forego wages or say defer payment on my contract, that's only going to be a small percentage. There's other liabilities that clubs have that they need to find the money to commit. I thought, I don't know if you and James have talked about it, but what Hyde are doing with the virtual match tickets and stuff. You know, there's been some really, really, really clever, inventive and original things that are being suggested. And I love that. And it's a sign, again, that without being cheesy, this non-league family that we're all in of trying to figure out ways of supporting each other is brilliant. And there's going to need to be quite a lot of that. And yeah, you're right. We can argue about the table and the administration, but having a team to support when they run out again is maybe even more of a concern than, you know, where are we going to finish in the table at the moment. And you're kind of holding your breath and hoping that somehow people can muddle through.
And it's a double whammy as well, because a lot of these clubs are owned by local businessmen who, in a lot of cases, pillars of the community, do a lot of work and that kind of thing. And you know, the economy's driven off a cliff, hasn't it? The demand in the economy is just not there, so it's affecting everything. And
Well, you're right. Look, you and I having this conversation this afternoon, and don't want to make it about us, but people who depend on football or sport for their income are in, you know, a very odd and tenuous and kind of very worrying situation. And it's not just people who work in the media, by the way. There's loads of other people who depend on sport and football for their living. And you're quite right. It's that domino effect, isn't it? That even with the best will in the world, the local businessmen and local sponsors will want to continue to support sporting bodies in their respective towns. But if their own businesses are being affected in some way, then one of the first things that they're going to cut is this kind of non-essential spend, because they've got to pay their own staff and their own liabilities. And this is the scary bit, isn't it? This domino that falls, and how interlinked we all are with different things that we do, and the impact that it can have on so many parts of our lives. And again, is that it comes back to that unknown, that we don't know what's going to happen. We might not need to worry as much as we are, but then again, you know, it would be daft not to worry at all and think it's not serious, because it very clearly is. So yeah, I think it's so unpredictable, and that's the difficult bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and the difficult bit is, you know, I like to, I'm sure regular listeners will like the fact that we kind of keep it as light as we can at times on this show. You know, we like to have a bit of a joke and that kind of thing. But in this instance, there's not much to be smiling about, unfortunately. But we are where we are, as one philosopher once said.
No, you're right. But there have been those little bright spots, you know, about the virtual fixtures that have been played. You know, I logged on and seen that the Abbott and Coleswick and Albion game that was postponed on Tuesday, someone played it in a video game.
Who won?
Witten got 3 points. Oh,
that's a big result.
It's a big result, yeah. Good to take that. But I think also, is it tonight or Thursday, by the way, as we record this, that they're going to rerun the FC United and Witten game from earlier in the season, as people can enjoy watching some action and, like I say, the Hyde virtual ticket. There's things that people are trying to do to rally around that, there are reasons to be optimistic. There are reasons to be positive amidst kind of what obviously is unsettling and gloomy. But it's nice that the non-league community is finding those little kind of nuggets of happiness and little bits of nuggets of joy amid the chaos. And I've seen other initiatives where teams are taking part in a kind of a football manager competition and things like that. I'm exposing myself here quite clearly as a non-video game player, but it's just been really uplifting to see some of the ways in which people have tried to kind of fill the football void in their lives. And they're going to need to keep being original, by the way, in the next few weeks and probably months. But the early signs are encouraging. I've seen people doing what these keepy uppies with toilet rolls and things like that, challenging each other. There's been some funny kind of light-hearted things, which has been great. It's made me smile anyway.
This show this week is obviously about the reaction to the week we've just had, where, you know, the government's taken the action that many governments around the world have been forced to take, and that's to ban mass gatherings and that kind of thing. And that's impacted on sporting activity and sporting events and so on and so forth. So obviously this show is about the reaction to that news and how hopefully, as Simo's done such a cracking job of guiding you through all the ins and outs of where we go from here. But in the coming weeks, we're going to bring the clubs on, because like you say, Simo, there's some great stuff going on the social media side. There'll be some great stuff going on with community teams and that side of things, and the managers themselves, how they're keeping in touch with their squads while they're apart and that side of things. So hopefully there's we'll be able to bring you the bright side of this horrible situation that we all find ourselves in at the moment. But Simo?
And I think just on a last point, and it is an uplifting point, that just the quirk of the fixture list gave us the FC United and South Shields fixture at the weekend, you know, the two best teams in the league, the number of people that went to enjoy that game, the entertainment factor. In a way, it was almost a, you might not agree, FC United fans might not agree with this, but kind of a weirdly fitting way to sign off, if we're going to sign off for a little while, to have a game like that in front of a crowd like that, that really showcased the very, very best of the Northern Premier League at the moment. And I know that wasn't planned. It was just the way that things happened. But that also, I was thinking about that at the weekend. Well, if we're gonna sign off, then that's not a bad way to have done it, with a game of that scale showing off the best of our division. And the last thing I would ask you, did it feel at the game that there was this sense that, yeah, this is the last game we're going to see for a while? Or were people so absorbed in it that wasn't in the kind of mix? Because I did go and watch a game last weekend. It wasn't the Northern Premier League one, but it was just a very strange sense around the place that this is kind of resignation, that people knew this was going to be the last sporting fixture they watched for a while. Was that tangible on Saturday, or were you just so absorbed in what was such a big game anyway, you didn't have time to kind of notice that?
I can only speak for myself, Simo, but it did feel like it was the last hurrah of the season. It did feel like
right.
That. And, you know, you said, oh, I don't know how FC United fans will feel about, you know, the idea that this was, you know, a good way to sign things off and that side of things. Just to clarify, Simo, I don't speak on behalf of all FC United fans, but I do have to say we did have a good time. And that is exactly why we're here this season. So, Simo, we're going to be in touch in the coming weeks. I've got no doubt about it. And dear listener at home, obviously we've been talking about football, but the main priority is obviously that you take care of yourselves, your families, and you stay very, very safe. We'll have a show next week, which will be a bit more, hopefully, we'll try and inject a bit of a spring into it and that kind of thing. Because obviously, you know, you want to be cheered up, don't you? So we'll be back on it next week. Simo, a big thank you for joining us. A big thank you as well to Lee Picton, and a big thank you to James Hayes. And take care of yourselves, everyone. We'll be back next week. Bye bye.